talk about the gift of righteousness today. I'm gonna summarize or go over it a little bit from last week, but I want to remind you of two main components of righteousness, which also means the justice of God or the righteousness of God, is that there's always the courtroom scene and there's always a covenant connected. So there's always a judge involved and there's always a father involved. All right, there's always a commitment to follow God's own righteousness as he is perfect in right standing with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and that he's in right standing with the world and how he treats the world. So God is always right. He's in right standing with himself. He's in right standing with his scripture. And he is always in right standing with you, even though you might not be in right standing with him. Okay? So I know some of you got your pens ready and you want to write down what this is called. Anybody recognize this car? What is it?
A Bugatti Veyron Super Sport World
Record. Well, I was just going to say it's a Bugatti. So I was having coffee with somebody the other day, and we were walking in, and we saw this car, and it was a beautiful car. We still don't know what kind of car it was, but it was just so nice and beautiful, and that got us to talking, and they sent me a picture of this Bugatti, and they had seen a Bugatti a couple years ago. There's only 550 made. There's 50 still left for sale, all right? The base price is $1.7 million. I think that's without the electric windows. All right, 1.7. The average is just over 2 million. And you can actually, before you purchase it, you can go in there and decide what you want it to look like, the interior, the exterior, the color, all the tweaks and things like that, all the bells and whistles that you want on that. But you know, I was thinking, if you were to get me this car and you gave it to me as a gift, it would be super exciting for me, wouldn't it? Even if it was just a small amount for you to pay, it would be super exciting for me to have. But if I had to then pay the insurance, which is almost $3,000 a month, and it can only be worked on by a Bugatti mechanic who has to fly here to work on it, and I have to park it somewhere, and I have to think about the burden the gift becomes to be upon me, the gift of this beautiful thing. And you know what? I think a lot of us get that beautiful gift from the Lord, and it becomes a burden. I have to maintain it. I have to protect it. And then maybe we wreck it. Maybe we crash it. And then we have to hide it in the garage and not use it and hope and try to fix it on our own. Every night in the garage by ourselves trying to fix it, never calling the one who gave it to us, never calling the one who can repair it. So this gift of righteousness, this gift of right standing, this gift of Christmas is not a burden upon us. And a lot of us feel like, I get this Bugatti, I get this great gift, now I have to work super hard to be worthy of driving that gift. Now for me, I would have to get a better house to park that Bugatti in front of. I would have to probably be about 50 pounds thinner and dye my hair and get, you know, better clothes. There's a whole bunch of stuff you'd have to feel like I have to have in order to have that car, to match that car. In fact, what we did is we talked about, we didn't see who was in the car, so we looked around and we're like, I wonder who owns this car. I wonder who, can we tell by looking around? And the thing is, when we get this gift of Jesus, when we get this gift of relationship, of eternal life, or this gift of righteousness, whatever we want to call it, it all sums up to the same thing. It's a gift of relationship when we have a gift of righteousness. Is it is not a burden. That he gives us something that instead of like the car that becomes a burden that I have to maintain and take care of, he gives me something that begins to change everything about me. That's what I want to talk about today. So if you'll turn to Romans 14. And they do promise that you will, we're going to have a lot of people like coming in and out probably because of the start of the German festival. So that's okay. We'll just keep on going. And if it looks like anybody wants in that doesn't belong here, I'll be sure to shoo them away for you, okay, since I have the microphone. No, it's always nice for us to have open doors and not have a foyer and just have people be able to come in and be with us. So this gift of righteousness, it's a gift of right standing. This gift, see, if you got a Bugatti for me, whoever's like thinking seriously about that for me, if you got that $2 million, thank you, Frank, Francisco, if you got that car for me, would it say anything about me? It would only say something about Francisco. it would say that he valued me, that he saw me worthy of that car. It would say something about his resources and not my resources. See, when you give a gift, it doesn't say much about the person you gave it to, predominantly. It says about the person that gave it to you. Okay? So God gives us this gift, and we think it then begins to mean something different about us, and it really means about him. And so when we read this scripture, it's Romans 14, 16 and 17. Therefore, do not let what is for you a good thing to be spoken of as evil, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. There's a relational connection that we have here when it comes to righteousness. And I want to like just think about this righteousness. We have this right standing between me and God, and he's always in right standing relationship with me. God is not opposed to the world. God does not hate the world. He's not mean towards the world. He's no longer judging the world. He's no longer looking to punish the world. There are consequences that play themselves out. So I'm in right standing with God. If I choose to believe in Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior, I become in right standing with God. And all I am is actually choosing to step into a relationship that's always there, that's always been offered to me, that's always been available to me. All right? So when we have righteousness, is my right standing with God is my righteousness. And then it says the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. It's not something physical. It's not something you do or don't do. It's my right standing with God. It's peace, which because I have right standing with him, I begin to have much more right standing with men around me. So because if I can focus on my right standing, my righteousness with him, not in my works towards him, but in my receiving his love like Jim had talked about, if I have that, then my peace with man becomes different. I can't be a racist. I can't not care. I can't hurt or hate people. I mean, I can, but it begins to diminish. The work begins to be done in me. Just like driving a Bugatti, I would begin to feel different about myself. I shared that, you know, I drive a Kia Sportage. I love the Kia Sportage, but then I got to drive best BMW for about 3 weeks, a lot longer than I thought I was going to. And I'm not a car guy at all. I don't know anything about that car except for what I was told by this friend and then what I read last night and what Craig knows, which is a lot more than me. So I never thought I would care about a car, but I tell you what, going from a KIA to a BMW is a huge difference. And in first 4 or 5 days, it's not a big deal. Then you realize I have better everything in this car, and it begins to you sit better in the seat. It's a seat. I have a seat in my car. The seat in this car is a lot better. I have a radio in my car. This car hooks right up to my phone and puts my phone right onto the car. I have a roof. This has a roof and a sunroof and a moonroof, and a little thing that hooks up there so no bugs get in. A little net that pops up there. It's really nice. It begins to change you when you're around nice things, doesn't it? We like our homes to be nice. We like to look nice. We like to do nice things. But in this relationship that I have with him, it begins to change something in me so my peace is towards everybody else. And then there's joy, righteousness, peace, and joy. Joy is right standing with my own self. Joy is right standing with God no longer judges me. God is not opposed to me. I'm not going to judge myself. I'm not going to wrongly judge myself. Who am I, Paul says, who are we mere mortals, mere humans, to be judging everybody else or to even judge ourselves? That he is in right relationship with me. I want to walk into that. My effort, my good works, my energy is not towards being good and loving people. It's not towards doing right things. It's not towards any of these things that we do want to do. My energy is towards this relationship of right standing with him. And as I believe in that and as I receive that, it begins to change me. And then I have peace within. And then I have joy. Then I have peace to others. I have joy within. And everything looks different because of his righteousness with me. This relationship changes everything. So we have in Luke that we read last week about the Christmas story. I mean, it's an amazing event that happens. Angels appear, a light appear, shepherds. I mean, everything begins to happen in this Christmas story. And when this story is told, when things happen with this man Jesus, who we say lives with us today, lives innocent through us, when he shows up, demons flee. When he shows up, When one person that's in right standing perfectly with the Father shows up, people's minds become clear. People's emotions stabilize. People's cancer flees. People's things for years, generations, decades that have troubled them disappear when that person with right relationship shows up. And so we have that in us. That's our right standing with him. That's us in right standing with him. And it's meant to change everything about us. It's not to mean that I don't do this anymore alone. I might not do that, but I'm becoming so at peace, so at right standing, so comfortable with who he is, so comfortable with that hug that Jim described, so comfortable with him speaking to me, telling me how great I am, telling me how perfect I am, in the midst of my junk, in the midst of my uncomfortableness. That's what my righteousness is that he gives that to me. You know, I struggle every single day. If you're anything like me, you struggle with righteousness every single day. You struggle with, I scratched the Bugatti, I have to go get it fixed myself. I have a flat tire, darn, I should have changed the tires. I should have noticed something was going wrong in my marriage. I should have noticed something was going wrong in my heart. But we hide it. In righteousness, we think, I need to be righteous so I can be before a holy God. I need to be holy so I can be before a holy God. This gift of righteousness says that your righteousness is as filthy rags. Your attempts are nothing to get into right standing with him. And so we think that it means something, that we have to do something, and we don't. And that's, for each of us in here, from the oldest to the youngest, that's our main issue. Our main issue isn't that we're going to drink too much. Our main issue isn't that we're going to be addicted to something. Our main issue isn't even laziness. Our main issue isn't racism. Our main issue isn't too much money or too little money. Our main issue is this idea of righteousness, is of letting him be here with us. So that when I'm unrighteous, when I'm not at peace with people, and I'm angry at them, that I ask him for help. That I trust, I believe in my right relationship with him, even while I'm having wrong relationship with people. So in the midst of my depression, in the midst of what I'm not getting in my soul, that I don't go away and try to fix it and then come back and worship him and then come back and preach on Sunday morning because I feel better about my week, because I controlled it better, I managed it better. But it's really him, it's him within me, and I go to him. And I let him fix this gift that he's given me. I let him realign this gift that he's given to me. You know, most of us are offering people our good ideas, our religious beliefs, our political beliefs, our mental, our emotional, our things, instead of offering people relationship. We've got to offer relationship. But that relationship isn't just offered and you need to know Jesus. It is that. It is with our words. But it's our understanding of people saying, you're at peace. You're so kind. You're so different than you used to be. And then you begin to talk about the gift that somebody gave you that cost an unimaginable amount. $2 million for a gift is a crazy amount. $2 million plus the maintenance package, that everything's always taken care of. Your gas is always taken care of. Everything's always taken care of. No matter what you do to this car, I'm going to take care of it. That's a huge gift. It's a gift that costs an unimaginable price, and we have that with Jesus. And part of the problem is that we have is this gift is been duplicated, counterfeited from the very get-go, of Garden of Eden, of every story in Scripture. And every time that you've made a choice to walk out of right standing with him, every time that you've made a choice to not go to him, it's been because there's a counterfeit that's been presented to you, that's within you or been presented to you, that you've decided to go follow. I'll do more Bible study. I'll study differently. I'll go to a different church. I'll believe a different set of beliefs. I'll have a different set of activities. I'll do something different. It's a counterfeit. It's easy to counterfeit. That's why Jesus says your righteousness, your right standing must exceed the very best Christians you've ever met, the very best teachers and preachers, and those that have apparently done nothing wrong, that look like they followed all the rules, your righteousness has to exceed that. Yet in church, what do? We put markers on what's good Christian behavior, what's bad Christian behavior. If you know the Bible, it's better. If you have a ministry, it's better. If you're preaching, you're better. And none of that's true. So it's easily counterfeited. And the enemy comes in and begins to speak to us and talk to us about what it looks like, what it doesn't look like. I want you to be confident today of this Christmas gift, that this righteousness that you have, it is not dependent upon your activity. It's not dependent upon your perfect doctrine. It's not dependent upon you not sinning tonight or tomorrow. It's dependent upon him and the work that he's done and he's completed and his looking upon you saying, you are my favorite, I love you, you're amazing, and I'm going to take care of everything that's in you that's going to go after sin. If you give it to me, I'll take care of it. Every sin in your past, I'll take care of it. Everything that comes up to haunt you consequence-wise, I'll take care of it. Bring it to me. Ask me about it. Everything that you're going to do in your future, give it to me. I'll take care of it. It's already been done. When I gave you that gift, I gave you everything that it takes to not only maintain that gift, but to utilize it. This car, this Bugatti, is like the top speed limit for legally is like 200 and something miles an hour, but it's gone up to 500 and something miles an hour. It's actually the fastest street legal car they build. Not sure my Kia can keep up with it. But I'm not sure I would even want to drive one. But just think about that we don't conform any longer to the patterns of this world. We're something that does something different in us. And the hard part is sitting and allowing him to do something different in us and not be busy working hard trying to make ourselves look good. Every one of us in here struggles with wanting ourselves to look good. And those of us who say, well, I don't care if I look good, that's just the other side of the same coin. We want to look good. We try to look good. We want to hide our bad stuff. We want to hide, some of us want to hide our good stuff when we're around people that have bad stuff. So we engage with how bad our life is. But it's like we all struggle with this idea of righteousness and believing and trusting in him. And our pattern has to be is to go to him. And to go to him and believe and trust. When I go to him, he's not ignoring me. His back isn't turned to me. He's not angry at me. He's not pouting at me. He's not like our parents who go away and are mad at us till we have good behavior. He's not embarrassed by us. He's not ashamed of us. He loves us and he's done everything for us to be in right standing with him before the law and in relationship. He's done everything for us already to do those things. So it's a gift many try to counterfeit, and it's a gift for those in need. Jesus said, I didn't come for those who don't need. So every one of us at every point of our life, when we say or we act, we don't have to say it, we don't have to articulate it, but when we act like, I don't need him in my marriage, I'll do this, I know how to fix it, I know where to go, I know what to do, then we're in trouble. And I think we limit or eliminate his ability, his power to do something when we say, I can do it. I know what to do now. So we have this gift. We can't assume we know how to drive it at any given time, even if we're driving it really well and it's going well. When we get this gift, we have to be dependent upon the one who gave it to us, the one who manufactured us, the one who knows us. And that scripture is Mark 2:7, about he came for those who need a physician, not for those who don't. He came for those who need a physician, not for those who don't need a physician. So there's another thing at this Christmas. At this Christmas, what's marking you as somebody who has that gift? It's not because you're in church. It's not because you have a Bible. It's not because you have a cross on your yard. What is it that's showing? What is it? What is the visible appearance? What is the visible manifestation of you having right standing with the Lord? So I'm going to go to, there we go. I used this last week. I'm going to use this again. So we have this idea that God is righteous. That God is righteous, that God is perfect, God's in right standing with himself. God is never in disagreement with himself, he never opposes scripture, and he's always going to treat you exactly how he says he's going to treat you. And in this relationship with God, God is always the one who is right. So we never have to complain against God, about God. We never even have to ask God where he is, even though I think that's a healthy thing to do. I think it's healthy to be honest with him and share with him what's going on. Then we have this relationship. And so the question last week was, God is righteous. He gives us righteousness. And then we have to go out and live that righteousness out. So I want you to see that with the Bugatti. God's not giving us something and saying, good luck, go figure it out. God is actually coming down to be present with us in our heart. We have the evidence of the Holy Spirit. We have the resurrection of Jesus up at the throne and Jesus being with us. So God comes down, and it says in Scripture that you are his righteousness, that you are his right standing. So he comes down, we become his righteousness, and we become his righteousness with how we act towards the world. And I don't mean not just being, I don't know why I'm using racism today, but I don't mean not just being I'm not racist, or not just being I'm not mean, but proactively that I'm good, proactively I'm loving people, proactively I'm going towards people, wanting something for people, proactively I'm spending my life and my finances in a way that's a blessing for people, that's a good way for people. I'm communicating the gospel with what I say, with how I live, and how my relationships are. So we have this, and it comes down to this idea that his righteousness is something we invite people into continuously. It's a struggle. It's a struggle even to talk to people that go to church regularly, because they're so, not they, we are often so indoctrinated that it looks exactly like this. Relationship looks exactly like this. Right relationship with God means I like this kind of politics, I drink this kind of drink, I eat this kind of food, and I go see these kind of movies. And it's not true. Righteousness that we invite people into is relationship. And we've got to, I don't know how to like express that. I know for me over the last 10 or 12 years, the idea of asking God himself to be with me in my marriage, asking God himself to be with me in my fear is different than me asking for God to throw a package of peace my way, where I have to unwrap it, where I have to figure it out. That this right here, we have God coming down and being with me, and me believing in my right standing, me trusting in my right standing, means that I ask him all the time about everything. Everything. God, why don't I have enough money? God, why don't I get along in my job? God, why are my kids a mess? God, why is my marriage a wreck? God, why am I so afraid? And inviting him in and letting him speak to you, letting him heal you, letting him, with the gift that he's given you, letting him operate in that gift in that way. Now, this is a question. I'm going to end with this question. It's how do you know that you're righteous? How do you know that you're righteous? How do you know that you're righteous? We know through James, we know through Paul, that you don't get to be righteous just because you say, hey, I'm righteous. That you don't get to be righteous just because you say, well, I go to church and I do these things. You don't get just say you're righteous because you believe the right things even. Because we don't want to take that. You can't just take, well, I believe, and say, well, I believe I'm a Christian, I believe I'm this, I believe that, you know, that's why I'm saved, that's why I'm a child. But there's action that comes along with that belief, all right? And so I ask you to turn to 1 Corinthians. You don't have to turn there, but the two scriptures I'm going to use are right here. No, they're not. I went the wrong way. I'll give them to you. 1 Corinthians 4:4. So there's two ways that you know you're righteous. The first way is you will feel differently. You'll feel differently when you look in the mirror. You'll feel differently when you sin. You won't feel shame. You won't feel condemnation. When you're rebuked by the Lord, you'll be glad and not sad or embarrassed. When you wreck your Bugatti, you'll know you're righteous when you immediately drive it to the one who can fix it. When you run out of gas, when you run out of energy, when you cut the seats because you left a knife in your pocket or whatever happens, you won't run away from him. You'll go towards him. You know you'll be different. You'll think differently and you'll feel differently. Something will shift in your soul if you're moving into right standing with the Lord. 1 Corinthians 4:4 says, this is Paul speaking, for I'm conscious of nothing against myself. Get this. Wouldn't it be awesome? I am conscious of nothing against myself. I'm conscious of nothing against myself. The one who said that he was the greatest sinner amongst all. I'm conscious of nothing against myself, yet I'm not by this acquitted, but the one who examines me is the Lord. Just because I don't feel anything toward against myself isn't the big deal. It's that he doesn't hold anything against me. He is not mad at me, even if I go out and I sin tomorrow. Even if I blow my temper at work, he's not mad at me. He's not mad at us. He's the one who says, come on in. It's not like he said to all the sinners and all the drunkards and all the tax collectors when he was here on earth as Jesus, come on in, I give you this gift of eternal life, but now that you're in the family, you better act right or I'm kicking you out. He gives us the ability, he gives us the ability to be his children, even as he gives us an invitation and he gives us his name, he gives us the ability to be his children. You'll be different inside. You'll think differently. You'll feel differently. You'll stop judging others because you won't feel any judgment. You'll be in right standing. That doesn't mean you won't properly discern. You won't be judging others. You won't be condemning others. There won't be large groups of people that you hate. There won't be groups of people that you're afraid of. Your preferences for how you think life ought to be done will be changed because you realize it's really about my spirit and my soul and not about all of these other things. So something will begin to shift inside of you. Super cool thing also is you won't judge yourself. You won't hate yourself. You won't condemn yourself. You won't talk about yourself like you're not full of gifts. You won't talk about yourself like you're not powerful. You're like you're a victim. You talk about your beauty of who you are and your uniqueness of who you are. It's a constant reminder. If I was given a gift of a Bugatti and I drove it, and it was always maintained, it was always washed, it was always clean, it was all everything that I did wrong to it or how I overdrove it or whatever I did, and it was always maintained, I would be a constant reminder that somebody out there with infinite resources loves me like crazy and is willing to lavish me with things I don't deserve. That's how you'll feel when you walk in righteousness. And many of us learn through religion, through wrong teaching, and we even use scripture poorly to defend ourselves and to tell, yes, that's true, but, and we put a big but in the way. You can't let that big but get in the way because that but grammatically then changes everything that you just said. I know I'm righteous, but here's why I'm not. I know I'm rich beyond all means by being a child of God, but here's why I'm not. That's one thing that'll change. That's how you'll know that you're righteous. You know that you're righteous when you begin to see yourself differently, when you begin to see God differently, rooting for you, always on your side, providing what you've asked for the moment you've asked for it and believing for that. The second way out of 2 Corinthians, the next book, 2 Corinthians 1:12. And this is also in 1 Thessalonians 2:10, kind of the same thing. You see this with Paul quite a bit. For our proud confidence is this. Our proud confidence is this. The testimony of our conscience, once again, the testimony of what's going on inside, that in holiness and godly sincerity, not in fleshly wisdom, but in the grace of God, get this, because something different going on inside, but in the grace of God, we have conducted ourselves in the world and especially towards you. We have conducted ourselves well in the world. So things will begin to change within us, how we see ourselves, how we see God in our relationship when we walk in righteousness. Something will shift inside of me. And as I'm not judged, I'm not condemned, I don't judge and condemn. As I receive this wonderful gift, I will want people to engage with the one who can give this wonderful gift. Because if I've been given this gift, it doesn't say that I can then give this gift. I can introduce to the one who gives this gift. And you know what? It does mean that we keep our yards clean and our houses neat. It does mean that we drive with insurance on our cars. It does mean that we do things to live well with people. It does also mean that we're loving and we're kind. It does mean that we're really great employees. There's actions that come with God's change in our life. But the actions come after this righteousness, after this joy, as it comes out in peace towards others. It's not something I seek to be in right relationship with people. I can seek to be in right relationship with everybody here and have a really false, superficial relationship. And I can say I love everybody, and you can say he's so kind, but when I and it can not, still not fill me up, still not be good for me, still not help me feel like a good person, even though everybody would call me a good person. But when I walk into this relationship, to this righteousness, to this right relationship and right standing before the Creator, before the only one who has the right to judge me, before the only one who has the right to punish me, for the only one who can really, truly take anything of value away from me, which is my spirit, if I have a right relationship with that one, then it begins to work out in every area of my life. There's a phrase, I don't know, it's that all the boats in the harbor will rise. You know what that, you know, that as the tide comes in, it's not like one boat gets lucky and gets higher. It's all the boats in the harbor rise up. With Christianity, with this righteousness, we have this one relationship that allows the tide to come in so everything in my life gets better. The only other option is good works. The only other option is good work, where I try really, really, really hard not to cuss out my neighbor, where I work really, really, really hard to be a good person and have good habits. All important things, but it's one at a time. It's managing your spirituality. It's managing your soul, and it's exhausting. It's exhausting, and religion can leave you dead and worn out. Over here, it's relationship. It's a relationship with someone who has zero wrong motive towards you, has perfect motive towards you, who knows you better than you know yourself, who can speak things to you that would excite you about how you are, who when he rebukes you, you're like, that's so right. I'm so glad you showed that to me. Thank you. Can you heal me of that now? It's a different way to look at it, and that's really truly why the angels sang, and the shepherds rejoiced, and people, the wise men came to see Jesus. That's really why he was crucified. Because there was groups of people, when the Bugatti showed up, and Jesus started saying, my father was offensive. My father has given me everything I need. There was a bunch of people that said, I don't believe there's a father. I don't believe you really have a Bugatti. There's others who had been entrusted with the goodness of the father who said, you're not good enough to get the Bugatti. You shouldn't have one. I can't believe you have one. And then there's others that were hurt and needy, and could never imagine being invited to the family. And those are the ones that flocked to Jesus' side. It's no different today. We still have those three groups of people. We still have the religious that say, some are in, some are out. Some are in the club, some are out. And it's by their behavior. It's not by what God's doing or changing here. There's others like the Romans that said, oh, if he wants to be that way, he wants to be that way. That can be their religion. There's others. And this is how we are still to be. Even though we're in the family, we still need to be hungry and thirsty for righteousness. We still need to hunger and thirst after that beautiful gift, that powerful gift, that perfect gift of relationship, where all my good works flow out of that easily, where all the spiritual gifts that I would ever need to minister to anybody comes out of that, where all the fruit of the Spirit blossoms from that, where the fullness of his life, of everything I could imagine, comes from this one right relationship. Nothing else matters. Everything else is yuck. Everything else turns just to dust. This is the one thing that matters. This is the only thing that matters. Not just at Christmas season, but throughout our whole life. Throughout all of next year. Just go ahead and bow our heads. So, Father, we just thank you. God, I know that even as I've spoken, even as we're listening, there's a lot of defenses right here, right now. There's a lot of defenses. There's a lot of good language. There's a lot of good religious language. There's a lot of good, I think that's right, God, but there's a lack of belief. There's a disbelief in us at different levels in different areas. Like, I can't trust you with my family. I can't trust you with my finances. I can't trust you with my emotions. I can't trust you with my sin. That I'll get that right, then I'll come in. Then I'll come into the church. Then I'll come into the neighborhood. Then I'll partake and drive the Bugatti. I'll drive the really nice stuff. Then I'll be good. Then I'll be okay. We're by ourselves, God. I just ask that you break through the religiosity that's been built layer upon layer in certain areas of our heart. We're just driving a Kia has been good enough. We're driving, we're maintaining and changing our oil and doing all of our own stuff, all of our own work has been enough, Father God. into this relationship where everything's provided out of you. So God, just layer upon layer, just right now by the power of your Holy Spirit, begin to remove that disbelief and replace it with a deep confidence, a confidence in you, a confidence in what you've done, a confidence in your perfection, a confidence in your covenant towards us. We just thank you for that, Lord Jesus. God, and we ask that anything that's distracting us from right standing with you, that's already been paid for, is being offered continuously in every area. Anything that stands in our way, we just ask that you remove it, Father. God, all the little distractions that we'll want instead of that Bugatti, the thing you really want to give us with the full package, everything that stands in our way, Father God, all those idols, all those attempts, all those things that are in our control, we seek after relationship, that we let you be in control. We thank you for that. Thank you for that. Father God, just by just ask for your blessing upon this body, upon every individual in here, every family represented here, every home represented here, Father God, every Christmas represented here. We ask your blessing upon each person's gathering, their activities, their job. We ask your blessings, your peace, your happiness, your joy upon their families, upon their parenting, upon their mind and their emotions, Father God, and upon their finances. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you.